With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom and donate today. Simply go to tntradio.live. Joe Hoft on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Good afternoon. This is Joe Hoft on The Joe Hoft Show. Thank you so much for listening and being here. And lots going on, as always, in this crazy, crazy world that we live in now. And if somebody were to say, well, what do you mean? Well, let's see. Let's just see. Well, we had a presidential election a couple years ago, and that was stolen. We've got a crazy man in the White House. He's just maybe crazy, corrupt, and senile now. Just senile as can be. He wasn't a bright guy in the first place. He's really running a family that's just stealing from the country. We've got a possible world war happening in Ukraine. The U.S. is poking the bear every day, trying to get Russia to do more and trying to get the U.S. more involved in this effort where both sides have nuclear arms. First time in this hot probably since World War II. And the biggest battle since World War II in Europe just ended with Russia destroying Ukrainian troops in the Donbass and in a Bakhmut, I believe is the name of the city, where something like 50,000 people died, 40,000 Ukrainians, 10,000 Russians, with 80,000 or more Ukrainian troops there. So about one out of every two died, and something like 50,000 Russian troops, and one out of five died. So bloody, bloody, terrible battle just occurred in the Ukraine. That country's getting blown apart. Anybody that could get out of there has done it. And it's, you know, haven't gone into Kiev yet, but they're just slowly marching that way. I think I heard the other day somebody say Ukraine or Putin thought he'd come in, they'd change the leadership and they'd be done. And then the U.S. has backed Ukraine and prevented them from getting out of this deal. And so Russia moved back and started slowly working its way forward again. So that's what's happening. There's word that Ukraine might have a counteroffensive. Well, that hasn't happened yet. And if it goes anything like Bakhmut, it's going to be a bloody, absolute, terrible situation, really a suicide mission for Ukraine. And this is how it is if you don't have air support. And that's what's going on there. And it has since the start. And Ukraine should have stepped aside, but the U.S. wouldn't let them. So we've got a madman Zelensky working for a madman Biden. And it's a mess. And Biden's working for a madman Obama and a madman Soros. So that's what's going on. We've got President Trump was yesterday in Iowa. We had Liz Harrington on the show yesterday. Fantastic. President Trump's had a communication. Just fantastic. She's so sharp. Trump's got just some of the greatest talent on his team. And they... They knocked it out. Liz knocked it out of the park yesterday. We've got, by the way, Christina Bobb from the Trump team, one of his attorneys, joining us Monday. So that'll be good. So we're trying to stay close to the Trump team and see what's going on there. He had a town hall last night with Sean Hannity. Hannity was just nasty. I talked to a guy this morning. He said it was terrible. I go, what happened? He goes, well, Hannity talked the whole time. Because he didn't let in questions, he didn't let Trump, just talked. And so that's too bad. There was one piece where he accused Trump of being mean, and the crowd booed him for what he said. And Hannity, booed Hannity. And he turns to the crowd and says, leave me alone. Just horrible. Hannity's horrible. I used to watch him religiously when I was over in Hong Kong. And haven't watched him since the 2020 election. When he decided to walk the other way, I was done with Sean Hannity. I was like, no, you're weak and you're not committed to the truth. That's for sure. And here he is saying the stuff like President Trump's too mean. Just pathetic. You can see in Trump's face some stress too. I'm sure he was totally disappointed with Hannity. Hannity is with this Fox News channel that's just fallen apart and lost all credibility, especially since getting rid of Tucker recently. So that's what's going on there. President Trump was outstanding. He was notified yesterday after the our show with Liz Harrington. I found out that Biden had fallen, at this Air Force ceremony yesterday. It was pathetic. He's on stage handing out diplomas and all of a sudden just starts walking away. Just la 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 land. He doesn't know where he's at. Sarah Palin called it elderly abuse. Of course it is. This guy shouldn't be there. He's not functional. He's not running this country. It seems pretty clear that it's Obama and Soros, and it's pretty disgusting what they're doing to this country, trying to get us in World War III, destroying the economy, spending money left and right. We don't know where it's going. They're spending money on against conservatives, probably sending millions back again to Twitter. It's just a mess. This country's just needs a major overhaul and some major God's grace. Because it's just an absolute mess. But Trump was notified that Biden fell, and his first response, immediate response, was, "Is he okay?" And that is that says a lot. I think I saw a video today from President Trump. They set him up when he was running for president. He put him on a stairwell that was slick. And he had to grab the railing and try to make his way down it without wiping out. Had to go real slow. And then the media would say, "Oh, look how frail President Trump is. The guy's a scratch golfer." And Biden can't, you know, we've seen him now fall how many times? Biden can't make it out of bed in the middle of the night without help. And they were trying to equate what Trump did with these stairs and not falling to Biden's absolute senility. That was pretty pathetic. And yesterday, and Biden said some nasty things about it back then. He said, "Oh, well, you know, President Trump, blah, 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 blah." Just nasty. President Trump's immediate response is, how is he? Did he get hurt? And that says the difference between these two men for sure, from the heart. And Liz Harrington yesterday, you know, shared with us, she says, you know, he is real. He cares about people. And that's what makes him so special. And it's absolutely true. And I loved her point about how DeSantis and his team are trying to run this election as if it's being run on Twitter. And it's not. Twitter's not the real world. It's fake. It's fake. And this is the real world, and that's why Trump does so well. And he got in front of people in the afternoon when he responded on that thing with Biden, and he talked last night with Hannity. And I guess he just knocked it out of the park. He's just so real. And that's why Americans love him and voted for him in 2020, and we'll vote for him again. Like I said yesterday with Liz, maybe it's our blessing that the election was stolen in 2020. We get him again for another campaign and another 4 years. So God bless America and God bless President Trump and all of you. Lots going on. Our good friend Adam Clark, aka Ruckus, has sent us a story about banning of oil and gas drilling in the United States by the Biden administration. Here, the economy's been falling apart. Prices are going through the roof. Americans are not keeping up. Our wages are not keeping up with inflation. And so therefore, we're losing real money. A big cause is oil. Everybody knows, just open up the oil fields, let us start drilling again, bring the price of oil down, everything else comes down, and we will be in great shape. And that was one thing Trump said yesterday too. He said, "I can fix this in 6 months." DeSantis was saying, "I'll take 8 years to fix this." And Trump turns around, and he's heard that. He said, "No, I can do this in 6 months." You know, he knows how to do it. And one of the biggest things is to address this oil issue where Biden's basically tied a hand behind our back, Americans back, after President Trump made us energy independent and the biggest producer of oil in the world. And Biden's shut that down. This is insanity. This is anti-American. And now he's doing more of it. So our good friend Adam is here, and he will fill us in on the latest in regards to Biden oil and gas drilling, prevention. So Adam, how you doing?
I'm good, Joe. And this is national news today from my state of New Mexico. So it's kind of happening in my backyard, so to speak. I mean, it's not that close to me, but this is something taking place in northwestern New Mexico. And what's going on is the Biden administration, courtesy of Deb Haaland, we'll get into her in a second, they're moving forward with a 20-year ban on new oil and gas leasing near an indigenous cultural site here in New Mexico, despite, believe it or not, stark opposition from some Native Americans in the region. So this is an interesting story. So Interior Treasury Secretary Deb Haaland, I believe is how the name is pronounced, she finalized the action on Friday. This bans fossil fuel and mineral leasing within a 10-mile buffer zone around specifically Chaco Culture National Historical Park in northwestern New Mexico. The ban ultimately amounts to a withdrawal of approximately 336,404 acres of public lands from mineral leasing near the site some Native Americans consider sacred. Haaland said in a statement, quote, "Today marks an important step in fulfilling President Biden's commitments to Indian country by protecting Chaco Canyon, a sacred place that holds deep meaning for the indigenous peoples whose ancestors have called this place home since time immemorial," end quote. Let's see. The BLM stepped in and also said some stuff. Their director, Tracy Stone Manning, says, quote, "The exceptional landscape in the greater Chaco region has profound cultural importance, and today's announcement marks an important step in ensuring indigenous voices help inform the management of our public lands," end quote. But not so fast, because I don't think they're considering all Native Americans' voices in this case. This action comes nearly 2 years after the Department of Interior and BLM first proposed the leasing moratorium within the 10-mile radius of the Chaco Canyon site. However, the proposal has been met with fierce opposition from the nearby Navajo Nation, local officials and energy producers, which is to be expected. In 2021, Navajo Nation President Jonathan Nez and Vice President Myron Leiser penned a letter to President Biden warning it would have a quote-unquote devastating impact on tribal members who have a financial interest in drilling in the area, just like most Americans, yeah? And last year, the San Juan County, New Mexico Board of Commissioners passed a resolution opposing the DOA's administration proposal. It seems to me what's going on is that Deb Haaland has some connections with, well, doesn't appear she does. She has some connections, and it appears she pulled some strings. There wasn't a lot of transparency here, so they're critical about that. She appears to have just ignored the wishes of the Navajo Nation, which is starting to cause a problem. So it's a fairly breaking story. I wish I had a little bit more about this, but it does ultimately mean that for 20 years now, this place is going to be off limits for drilling. So what do you think about that?
Well, it's insanity. It's anti-American. It's seditious. How about that? You know, I mean, really, the economy is being crushed by inflation. Americans are losing money every day. There's a group of Indians there, the Navajo, that are making a ton of money off this land. It's their land. And now they can't make that money because somebody in the Biden team says you can't. And this lady who's overseeing as the Secretary of Interior, she's like dumb as a rock. I've seen her in some of these interviews in front of Congress. Lady was totally lost. She says, I'll have to look into that. She doesn't deserve to be there. Her claim to fame is that she's an Indian. I don't think we should, I don't think we should be hiring people based on, you know, their ancestors. I think we should be hiring them based on their ability, their merits. And this lady there's no way she should be in that role. So I first of all, I don't think it's her that's doing this. It's somebody behind the situation that's leading her. And it's a horrible ruling. It's going to hurt the Indians, and it's going to hurt America, because this is how we fix this economy. Everybody knows it. Get us energy independent. Bring those gas prices down. And Saudi Arabia, and I read this like yesterday, Saudi Arabia needs like something like $80, $90 a barrel oil, because they've got so much social garbage that they've implemented in their country. And I heard Russia would like it around $100 a barrel. And under Trump, we lowered the price of gas down to like 60 bucks a barrel and filled up our reserves. And Americans were making a ton of money, and gas was cheap. And we became the largest producer in the world. Now we're neither of that, and our economy is suffering. And so everything these guys do is just, to me, it's anti-American, everything. So any thoughts on your part, Adam?
Yeah, I found what I was looking for because I knew this was like a, you know how they always describe conflicts between two groups of people as being tribal? This is literally what's happened. We literally have two tribes warring with each other, metaphorically speaking. So Holland is a member of the Puebloan tribe, the Laguna Pueblo, that has advocated for this. And her daughter, which is what people are most concerned with, Soma, is a member of the Pueblo Action Alliance, which is kind of like one of these green agenda things. It's a New Mexico-based environmental, quote unquote, and cultural group that has advocated for this policy as well. So I think if we dig deeper into this, there's a chance that this is more about the green agenda than trying to, oh, this is in the name of the Indians' wishes. No, it's not, because you ignored the other wishes of the next door tribe. And so that's basically a conflict of interest, which has been, called out by the Western Energy Alliance. So they pointed out that she completely ignored the democratic resolutions of the sovereign Navajo Nation whose lands surround the park to put the interests of her tribe based 100 miles away and obstructionist groups first. And that was a quote from a representative for the Western Energy Alliance, their president, if I'm not mistaken. So there you have it. It's more of the same, except now we're seeing it happen at the tribal level rather than in our federal government.
Yeah, and ultimately federal government has no business getting involved in any of that, period. It's an absolute travesty. This wasn't in our original constitution a couple hundred years ago, nothing close. It's amazing what's going on. Adam, thank you, sir. Have a great weekend. Enjoy New Mexico while it's, I guess, still free. And hope you have a great weekend.
Thank you, sir. You too. We'll talk to you on Monday.
Yeah, thanks a lot. All right, we'll be right back with Professor David Clements.
Jeremy Nell on TNT Radio.
I don't know if you saw the latest Reuters reporting.
Yes, with the surveillance camera.
Yes. I just commented, that's a really weird photo for Chinese spaceship. It's just a Chinese flag and a surveillance camera. It has nothing to do with our article whatsoever. But I mean, they're making it so blatant now. Now everybody's calling them out on their propaganda. What I think they're doing, you know, how a lot of the phone scams, they're really, really, I mean, it's very crude. People can tell right away they're scams. So I always wonder why those phone scams are so obvious. Who falls for this crap? The people telling me this is actually, there's a strategy behind that. The whole point of the phone scam is to weed out the high intelligence people. You know, only the people who are dumb enough to fall for the trap that are easy to manipulate to give them money. So I think that's how Reuters work nowadays.
We should troll them by doing similar parody articles of like Chinese restaurants and have a photograph of a dog.
Oh shit, people will believe that though. That's the thing, people will believe that.
Jeremy Nell on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Hi, I'm Dr. Tess Laurie, and I'd like to invite you to this year's Better Way Conference. Join more than 50 international speakers and our host, Neil Oliver, as they unveil how we can take back our health, freedom, and sovereignty. Watch inspiring, empowering, uplifting live conversations and attend workshops with world-renowned health professionals, activists, and journalists. This year's speakers include James Corbett, Matthias Desmet, Laura Abeli, Dr. Pia Khoury, Dr. Jessica Rose, and Vera Sharav. We'll be discussing solutions to the World Health Organization monopoly power grab, fake food, the climate agenda, artificial intelligence and transhumanism, big pharma corruption, and much, much more. If you are questioning the events of the last 3 years and want to be part of real and positive change, come to the Better Way Conference in the first weekend of June. You can attend online or in person in the historic UK city of Bath. Join us, brothers and sisters. Be part of this growing international community with a vision for a better way. Join the warriors fighting to save humanity and our planet. Visit betterwayconference.org for tickets and information. Your ticket purchase supports the groundbreaking work of the World Council for Health. See you there.
Proudly supported by TNT Radio.
You're listening to Joe Hoft on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Hello, we are back. This is the Joe Hoft Show, and it's Friday in the USA, June 2nd, 2023, the year of our Lord, and have a good friend and a great guest on with us again, Mr. David Clements. David, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, Joe. It's good to be with you.
Yeah, great to hear your voice. I say Professor Clements, Attorney Clements, husband Clements, Father Clements, all those things. A great guy, and happy to have him here again. I wanted to tell you, David, I was talking to somebody earlier, and they said, oh, I really like Clements. He's really good. So I just wanted to pass that on to you. So you've got at least one fan out there. Yeah, you've got one fan. Yeah. And I'm certainly a fan of yours, as well as Erin, your wife. She's fantastic too, just a superstar. So glad you can make it. So, what do you think that you'd like to really kind of address today to start things off? We had Trump yesterday. I had Liz Harrington on yesterday. It was great. She was just great. And all that. Is that where you'd like to start, or where would you like to go?
Well, you know, there's so much going on right now, Joe, with people that are entering and throwing their hat in the race. We know that Mike Pence is in. We know that Chris Christie, if he hasn't announced yet, is on the verge of announcing. You know, Trump was quite comedic in his comments with Sean Hannity, with people that are polling at literally 0% or 1%, throwing their hat into the ring. And it really is a race just between Trump and DeSantis. And Trump made the comments that he doesn't believe that DeSantis will last very long in the second place position, that he is basically braced to drop. And, you know, I'm not going to bet against Trump. When he says something, usually what happens is it comes true. So I don't know if that was just the kiss of death. Things are pretty feisty there. I myself enjoy it. I know a lot of people hate the infighting. They hate all this stuff. But when you know a swamp creature, and when you can, when you've got the receipts that someone is not who they purport to be, I think it's healthier for the Republic to out the swamp creatures, throw the gloves off. That's what the primary season is for. May the best man win. So that's pretty exciting. And then the thing that's, I guess, the struggle for me, and I think we've touched on this in conversations past. While I love Trump and I love a lot of the conservative commentators out there, I really don't know what to make of the talking points surrounding massive ballot chasing or ballot harvesting. So that's kind of where I'd like to just press pause. And the reason why I want to press pause on this ballot chasing operation is I truly care about Trump and I truly want him to win. And a lot of the people out there, I won't name them, are really promoting this thing that if we can just get out and outperform the Democrats on ballot harvesting, ballot chasing, then that will set us apart. That will be the reason why we win in 2024. Now I'm going to put cold water. I'm going to dump cold water all over that theory because I was one of the few people a year before the November election of last year that said there will be no red wave. And I know that you're with me, Joe, because we both said, how can you change election results if you don't get rid of the machinery, the rigged software, and the administrators? And fast forward 6 months into the future, 7 months, what do we still have? The same rigged software, the same rigged machines, and the same administrators. So one of the things that I just want to brace people for is that if you've got people that think that you're going to be able to go out there and out-register Republicans to Democrats and create more ballot traffic than the Democrats. The reason why I'm calling BS is that those aspects of the election system are now more or less automated. You know, we've got the proof. We've got the receipts. We've shown that in New Mexico. We've shown that in Florida. We've shown that in Hawaii. We've shown that in Wisconsin. We've shown that in New York. Registration injections are happening in automated machine-driven ways, and that voter registration is tied to and fully integrated with ballot printing. And so if you can, through the flip of a switch, create phantom ballots within a system that you can't audit, you'll never be able to out-harvest the machines. So I implore folks to hold those talking points accountable if you truly care about actually helping Trump. So that's something that I've been meditating on a lot, so much so that I'm in the process of editing a documentary on the input-output system, because I just can't get this message out quickly enough. We've got about a year to really, really try to change this rigged system. And it's not going to be by trying to outdo the Democrats in their corrupt schemes.
Excellent. Excellent, David. Yeah, I saw yesterday that DeSantis came out and said, well, we're going to do ballot harvesting is what he says. We're going to get out there. And I see that. And here's my point about that, it really gets to my gut here. And it's what they're saying is, first of all, that and DeSantis does this. He says, well, I won the election. I know how to win. And that's just garbage. Yes, he did. Okay. Did Trump not win? Is that what you're saying? Trump didn't win? And to me, I absolutely, without a doubt, based on my professional opinion, believe, if not know, that the 2020 election was stolen. It was absolutely stolen. It never should have been certified. And so when DeSantis says this BS, in my opinion, we're going to ballot harvest, he's basically saying this is how we're going to win, ignoring the fact that the election was stolen in 2020. And that, and you know, getting back to your point, it's like, if you don't, you know, how can you fix the problem when you don't know the problem? And in auditing, this could happen. You'd do a great job. You'd figure out exactly, hey, there's a big gap here. There's a big hole. We need something here to fix this, you know, mess. And then the auditor would recommend something that doesn't fix it. And then you put in this process and you still have a mess. And that's, to me, exactly what's happening here by pushing for ballot harvesting. It, just like you said, it doesn't address the issue. The issue in stealing an election, and people like DeSantis aren't even recognizing that. And if it, it's like the alcoholic saying, "I've got a problem, and it's my life's falling apart, and the problem is my car needs an oil change." Dude. You drink too much. You've got a problem with alcoholism and you need help. Fixing your oil or changing the oil in your car has nothing to do with it. And that's, to me, basically what's going on here.
Yeah, right.
Harvesting
now
has nothing to do with it. Yeah.
We have to understand that a victory these days is exposing the cracks in the system. And so one of the things that we saw with Carrie Lake, for instance, back in November, is a lot of people out there saying we need to, and it's all rhinos, by the way, that we need to get out and vote early. We need to go out and vote early. I'm telling you right now, if Republicans had gotten out early in the Arizona, you wouldn't have seen the cracks on election day. So everyone knows that the election was stolen. But if we would have played by the handbook that allows these bad actors to get all of the analytics that they need, to set their algorithms, to set things in place, to have a tally of who has shown up and who hasn't shown up, you wouldn't have seen those cracks. And that's really what the rhinos want. They want us to go back to sleep. Just do what we say. Vote early. Vote by mail. And it's a system that favors the uniparty. So, you know, whether it's early voting, listen to who's telling you what to do. It's the same rhinos, as you just mentioned, where not one of them has come out and said 2020 was stolen from President Trump. Not one person has come back there. So basically they're saying, hey, this is like the Matrix movie. We know that you've seen what we didn't want you to see, but go ahead and take this black pill. Go back to sleep. Let's go back into the swamp and let's just start using the same talking points that we've always thrown at the American people. And it's usually some iteration like this. Well, will you just promise us that if DeSantis wins, that you'll get behind the nominee? We're hearing that already. It's like, let's use the cheat machines. If we can convince the American people that Joe Biden eked out a win against Trump. It'll actually be a lot easier to designate this cheat where DeSantis wins over Trump in a primary. And then we're going to go back to the old propaganda rallying calls. Let's get behind the nominee, just like we did. We had to do with Romney, just like we had to do with Bush and McCain. Aren't people seeing through this? Aren't they seeing through this, the same playbook time and time again? The only choice we've got is the swamp killer. And that's Trump. And it's not because I'm all about Trump. I'm all about just restoring foundational purity to our elections. And you can't have justice unless you restore a victim to the rightful place that he should have been in, some years ago. So I see great, great disloyalty across the board with all of these Republicans jumping in, not one of them giving lip service to the fact that over 80% of their own party says 2020 was rigged. And we're seeing more people being exposed with the debt ceiling bill that was just voted on. Marjorie Taylor Greene has lost a lot of face with the American people over this debt deal. Kevin McCarthy is really showing himself to be a person that's not keeping promises just 6 months in. Matt Gaetz, many others have been considered conservative rock stars, really haven't been holding McCarthy's feet to the fire on J6 and many other issues. And this debt ceiling deal is just an absolute debacle. So I don't know. I mean, this is just a time where it seems like more and more swamp creatures are just coming to the forefront. And hopefully the American people are seeing right through it.
Yeah, Dave, I hope someday you can be in D.C. representing New Mexico or some great state and help to clean this mess up, because we need more people like you, that's for sure. Yeah, absolutely. This is crazy. Some of the stuff's crazy. So jumping back, as we talk about the election, I hope you don't mind talking about some of this. You and I have had a lot of discussion on this over the past couple of years. I've really come to just cherish your understanding of really a lot of stuff, everything regarding the election. What percent do you think? Let me put it this way. If we were to fix voter rolls, do you think we can win the election by just doing that?
It would help. I think the voter rolls is what makes it all go. But in order to fix the voter rolls, you're basically, looking at like the old school library system where you've got your filing cabinets, where you've got a custodian over paper records, which deprives bad actors of having the information they need to run mules, to stuff ballots for people that haven't shown up to the polls. So it's critical. But the problem, as I see it, as this software that's being used, that's been effectively approved by the Department of Homeland Security through this group called Center for Internet Security, is fully integrated. Meaning the myth is that we were all under the understanding that you had kind of different checks and balances, a bunch of different moving parts, a great deal of decentralization between what the vendors were doing. And what we're finding out is that's not true. BPro, No Ink, uses the Total Vote software. It allows them to do everything from voter registration to ballot printing to election night reporting. And because they have the ability to do it all, if you cut off kind of one piece of the puzzle, they're not completely disabled. So I would say that it would be a good start. But really what you have to do is identify all of the different vulnerabilities along that assembly line. And it would certainly help. I mean, I'm not saying that it wouldn't help, but the problem is this. Look what we're doing already. We've got so many Republicans that are out there saying, hey, look, our state got rid of Eric. And they start congratulating themselves. They're saying, we see a vulnerability. Hey, Republicans, we're listening to you. We got rid of Eric. And the only reason why they're doing that is because they've substituted Eric for BPro, No Ink, 10X. All of these folks have the same capabilities, Eric. And so they've substituted what was once there with something That's still fully integrated. That has all of the problems of Eric. It's just got a different name. And we, the people, are sitting there congratulating ourselves like we've amassed this victory. The swamp never lets go of their weapons unless they feel they have fooled the electorate with a replacement scheme. And that's what they're doing with Eric. So when we say kill the machines, we're not saying, hey, give us a different vendor. Let us use ES&S instead of Dominion. Let us use 10X instead of BPRO. It means getting rid of the machines, all of them, and getting back to that tried and true time where you walked into a voting center, you're dealing with paper, you're shrinking the window of time to vote to one day, make it a national holiday, and you minimize all of these opportunities for bad actors to rob you of your most cherished property interest, which is your voice.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. I've thought about this too. I think, there's a big push to fix these voter rolls. We need to bring in some other solution other than Eric. But using my, background and expertise at auditing, and like I mentioned before, you could come up with a solution, but if it's the wrong solution, you're going to have the same problem. So you've got to understand what the issue really is before you can really fix it. And I think fixing voter rolls, I agree with you, is a big deal, and it's really a good thing. And these voter rolls should be crisp and clean, and I believe they should be secure, which they're not right now, which you just pointed out, that people are gaining access to these voter rolls, and even more so, they're gaining access to who's voted through these poll pads now. And so BPRO and those entities can tell you right now, they've got this other module that will tell you, as you know, David, this up-to-date election night processing or whatever, where you can see basically who's voted in what precincts, and that will tell you then who hasn't voted. And if you know who hasn't voted, then you could, if you're able to, if you're a bad actor with the ability, you could just find those people that haven't voted and go in and apply ballots to those individuals. This is what I think when they say fix the voter rolls. It reminds me of Detroit in 2020, where people said they came in, they were being told that they'd already voted. They said, no, I haven't. They were given a provisional vote. And then we found out through training ahead of time that if somebody fills out a provisional vote, you put it off to the side. When they leave the room, you throw it away. Because they knew if they'd already been voted, then they voted for Biden, basically. And so they'll do that again, I think. That's the thing with fixing voter rolls as your end all. Well, they'll just figure out some other way to vote for using your vote and throwing your vote out. So it's not the only thing that should be done, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think you're spot on. And you know, when people listen to this podcast or this radio show, a lot of people ask me this question, David, who are the bad actors? Who are they? And I am of the firm conviction, Joe, that they is the Department of Homeland Security. And the Department of Homeland Security, when they work with private NGOs like the Center for Internet Security that are funded by far-left groups that work in conjunction with globalist groups like the Atlantic Council, and you look at what they've created in the system, what have they done? They've deployed these things called Albert sensors. And so what are Albert sensors? It basically gives them the opportunity to test all of the election software, all of the election tools from the states under the auspices that they're protecting we the people from cyber intrusion. But all it does is it gives them the ability to monitor election data real time. And so many people that have been following elections have heard about this mythical thing called hammer and scorecard. It's been discussed. There's no doubt that something like that exists. But because the intelligence community, you can't peg them down on what is good information or bad. It's kind of been relegated to this tool that's out there. And so what I want people to know is, if you're listening to this, the Albert sensors have the functional equivalent of what scorecard purported to do, basically having all of the real-time data going on election day. Albert sensors gives you that. Now, the NoWink BPRO Total Vote 10X software gives you the functional equivalent of Hammer. which is you can basically now adjust, inflate, deflate, manipulate, overwrite election data, all of that stuff. You know, we don't have to guess about whether hammer and scorecard exist. Just look at what the Albert sensors and the software can do. And now keep in mind, this software out there is not certified. It's got pseudo certifications from this far left group. There is no oversight from Congress. There's no statutory authority to rein them in. I mean, basically, this is the Department of Homeland Security using a shell company to make it look like there's a check and a balance here, that there's some other independent group. But make no mistake, the Department of Homeland Security has created the space for this group to basically have carte blanche over our elections. And for folks that are out that are still skeptical, keep in mind, you had Representative Luna that had that congressional hearing with the former board of Twitter, where we found out that there was federal agency collusion with social media giants to censor people. And part of that grid, part of that network, was the National Association of Secretaries of State, meaning they had the same access to this cloud-based retreat called JIRA, where they can go down there and suppress and censor the hell out of everyone providing credible information about our elections. So where does that start? Where does that stop? It starts and stops with the CIS group working under the umbrella of the Department of Homeland Security. And so we need to stop chasing ghosts and just understand it's our own government that has put this into place. And it's as simple as that. It's like something where it's so hard to guess on this and that. But the difference now is that we've pulled the receipts. We've looked at the agreements between CIS and our secretaries of state. We've seen the charts. We've seen the outfits in action. So we're not guessing about it now. And so this is a dangerous time, because we covered this a few weeks ago, that this is the time of the Restrict Act, where Mark Warner is going to try to codify and make the presence of this Albert Censors total vote regime permanent, where states can't get away from it. So if we don't dismantle the system, if we don't get Trump in the White House in 2024, the Banana Republic is here.
Mm. Hey, David, I tell you what, can we take a quick break here? We'll be right back. And when we come back, let's discuss perhaps how it is that we can try to get rid of some of these roadblocks, some of these systems, functions, entities, individuals that are in the way, that are preventing us from having free and fair elections. And so we'll be right back. I hope that works for you, David. We'll be right back after a quick break.
Give me a minute with TNT Radio's Steve Malzberg.
New York City's been overrun with illegals, and Mayor Eric Adams is not pleased. Most of them have come from the great state of Texas, where Governor Greg Abbott has made sure that those crossing the border into his state are sent off to welcoming cities of sanctuary, like New York City. This has led to Adams accusing Abbott of racism, because he said sanctuary cities have black mayors. Okay. And Adams even started doing what he blasted the Texas governor for doing, sending illegals to other cities in New York State. But these are non-sanctuary cities who don't want them there, and lawsuits have been filed against Adams' moves. Adams has also decided to use prisons that have been closed down, like the infamous Rikers Island, and public school gymnasiums to house illegals, the latter causing well-deserved outrage from parents of students and others. He's considered closing off streets to house them, and now the mayor's asking houses of worship to take in these people, 15 or so, and the city will cough up $30,000 per month for their efforts. Folks, I'm telling you, this may be happening in New York City now, but just wait. It'll be coming to your area before you know it. Thanks for giving me a minute. I'm Steve Malzberg for TNT Radio.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
You're with Joe Hoff on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Hey, we are back with a good friend and absolute professional, Professor David Clements, an attorney. David, it's a pleasure having you here. Great stuff already. And really, you were really nailing it right before we left about the Albert sensors, about how Homeland Security, I don't think I've ever heard anybody say that before, that the real culprit here appears to be like Homeland Security, who's aligned themselves with the CIS, and these Albert sensors are flowing through the CIS, which is a nonprofit. It's not a government entity. We can't do any FOIA requests. They've got all the states sending their data from election data to this CIS. Why are we doing that? It's a nonprofit. It's, I believe, isn't there some ties with the CIS and Soros?
Yeah, so Democracy Fund is one of the chief funders of CIS, and they get their policy directives from the Atlantic Council, which is full of a bunch of in my opinion, spooks. These are the people that have a veneer of credibility. They certainly have credentials. We're talking about the Alex Haldermans of the world. We're talking about the Hari Hursties of the world. Mm. These are the people that you deploy from the brain trust, from the government, when Trump's in office, and create all kinds of skepticism over the machines that we use, which was valid. But as soon as Biden's installed, you put them back into the broom closet and you never hear from them again. Mm. You seal the reports. You seal Haldeman's report in Totenberg's litigation in Georgia. And they only come out, it seems like, when Patriot investigators are getting close to it to give a line of bull. And so that's the Atlantic Council. That's the policy gurus behind it, and they work in conjunction with CIS. So, you know, this to me has all of the tentacles, all of the hallmarks of the intelligence agencies, the Department of Homeland Security, and look no further than the fact that what have they done? They've designated people like you, Joe, people like me, as domestic terrorist suspects for merely questioning the narrative. And when you look at the RESTRICT Act, that's been put out there. Anyone that tries to mitigate the use of the Albert sensors can be found guilty of a crime. That means even if you speak out against it, you can be held liable criminally. So we're talking about the last ditch effort to solidify a rigged system using the law to make, you know, to create huge penalties, including imprisonment for people that are just, folks that love their country, that love honest elections. We are now criminals, and that's where we're at. If this passes through, now there's different levels of criminality that have been deployed at the state level. In New Mexico, much of the work that we've done in our audits was secured through public records requests. Well, they have slowly but surely over the last session tried to designate what was once a public record as part of critical infrastructure, meaning you can't get it. And if you get it and disseminate it and talk about it, that's a fourth degree felony going forward this summer in my state. And I have to imagine that's the playbook in states across the country, because you see that how Mark Elias and the law firm of Perkins and Coie and all these others basically have a strategy, and they try to deploy it across the country. So it's getting harder and harder to get those critical records like cast vote records and everything else, accurate voter roll information. It's almost impossible to get now because of what we've uncovered. So we're at this crisis point where the American people, I think for the most part, are fully awakened to the issue that 2020 was stolen, 2022 was even worse. And right now, I just actually got a story from Axios that says that even YouTube looks to be changing their policy on letting information about elections not get flagged and taken down. If that's true, that's a huge victory that signifies that they've lost the battle over the narrative of the elections.
Mm. Yeah, I don't hold my breath on YouTube, but and Axios for that matter, they came out of nowhere. I just remembered that right after 2020, I believe it was, maybe 2016, they came out of nowhere. And all of a sudden they were this big entity. It's like, who's behind this group? They came out as conservative at first, and they quickly showed their true colors. So I don't know.
I think your restraint is healthy, Joe. I'm just saying, but their messaging that like some type of, I guess, pseudo leftist outrage that YouTube's going to let election denialism survive on their platform.
Right. Yeah. You know, it's like, yeah, right. You know, after all we've been through, give me a break. You know, great stuff, David. All that stuff's really so smart. Not a lot of people that are switched on as you on so much of this. Amazing stuff. And it was you and Aaron, your wife, and others that really uncovered this BPRO entity that's now we find out it's around the country, that and the 10X solution. They have this software, like you said, it's not certified in any way. Certainly, it's being used in our elections. They're selling this stuff. They're making profits. So that's happening. They're getting access to information that I don't think they should have access to. I don't think they should know who's come in and voted in a precinct, because basically that's what they're gathering. Who voted, and you can tell if they're Republican or Democrat, and based on that, just that alone. I'll bet you statistically you could use that as a method of determining how many votes you need to win an election. And so, that stuff shouldn't be in place. Do you think there's any way of preventing this stuff from being in use in 2020 or 2024?
Well, people need to get angry. I mean, and angry about all kinds of things. I think one test is, where I think we've demonstrated failure was just what happened with this debt deal, this debt ceiling deal. The American people did not hold Kevin McCarthy's feet to the fire, certainly didn't hold, some of the so-called conservatives out there who are justifying this bill. So if we can't do that, I don't have tremendous faith that they'll do something about it. This really comes down to a massive hyper-local effort that people are just focusing on fixing their own backyard, meaning local clerk, hold out. Do not sign or give permission to have Albert sensors deployed in your district. Withhold certification if you learn that it's there, because the Restrict Act is not law yet. And so it's incumbent upon us to get this information out to as many people, because one of the misunderstandings that people have is that you can only violate your election code if you're caught hacking, or if you're caught, installing something that shouldn't be installed there. Every single election code that I've looked at has some aspirational provision that we will, as administrators of the code, hold the votes sacrosanct. We will hold it with the requisite sanctity. And anytime you don't do that, you can be found to have violated your election code by omission. And that's what I want to stress. It's one thing to do something nefarious by an action, but if you've been put on notice that your system is garbage and you do nothing, you can be held liable for violating your election code by omission. And that needs to be something that should inspire local patriots to get up in front of their election workers saying, what are you doing about this 80% no confidence in the system? What are you doing about the Albert sensors? What are you doing? And if they're doing nothing, you're providing legitimate grounds to oust these people and to shame them. There's got to be a massive public campaign. But if we don't absolutely dominate the court of public opinion, I don't know if we're going to have the willpower to do anything in a court of law.
Mm. And we're fighting against a lot of things. You know, it's just even DeSantis and his remarks about ballot harvesting, like I said earlier, it's really an indication, if not an outright statement from DeSantis that says, I don't believe the election was stolen, or it says, I know it was stolen. I'm going to be able to manipulate it on my behalf, which some people like Roger Stone thinks that's what DeSantis benefited from in Florida in 2022. He thinks they just turned those checks off and allowed him to win normally. And that's what the state of Florida is like. Not anything necessarily DeSantis did in that election, but the cheating maybe wasn't there. So I guess there's a lot more to talk about here, Dave, and a lot of us to work on over the next year and a half, and we're going to figure it out. And there's a lot of great ideas, I'm sure, that we can put forward to ensure that we can win a free and fair election. All we want is a free and fair election. That's it. Just give us a fair election. And that's something we haven't had in a while.
That sounds like heaven, doesn't it? Just to get who you voted
for. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. I mean, if most Americans are going to be, you know, in my opinion, brainwashed by this media to vote for, you know, somebody like Biden, you know, okay. But then we got to work harder on our message. But we can't even do that right now. We got to win the election. And I think, by the way, we're winning the messaging too. We're crushing them. You know, and what did we find out a couple weeks ago? 62% of Americans think 2020 was stolen. So, in large part to people like you, David. So, thanks so much for joining us. Have a great weekend.
You too, Joe. God bless.
Yeah, you too. And enjoy that time with your family out there in beautiful New Mexico. And say hi to Aaron. So, thanks so much, David Clements. We will be back next week on The Joe Hoff Show. You all have a great weekend.